Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, when we just started teaching about our Bible prophecy and the end time, we had a certain, I would call it now, escapist attitude towards the world and what is happening in here. And of course, we picked it up from people who had been teaching Bible prophecy before us. And you'd hear people saying that, please contribute money. This is so that we preach the gospel before we are silenced by the powers of political correctness. We got the impression that the devil has surrounded us, and somehow we have to operate in a scenario of evil is making strides every day, and somehow good is on the retreat. The power of God is on the retreat, and the power of the enemy is the one which is making strides. So you kind of have that thought, and at the midst of it all, you're thinking that at some stage the rapture is going to happen and we come and escape this God-forsaken world and go to a better world. And that was good consolation at the time. It sounded also good, but unfortunately also wrong, because that's not what it is. But now when we actually thought that, and so many people I know who, when they first receive, you know, this whole message and so on, the first instinct is they want to go. When is the rapture? We want to get out of here, this thing. We don't understand what's going on in the world, okay? And some people have actually asked the Lord, somebody asked the Lord and said that, what's the point in me being here? And this is somebody, of course, who has developed a very good relationship with God. What's the point? I'm talking about somebody who is seated here with us. I'm not talking about somebody far and wide. So what's the point in me being here? Okay? Why don't I just go? I am tired of this place. I'm what? Now, what amused me when this guy, the man is newly married. At least can't you stay for your wife? Praise the Lord. You see, so I told him, you man, you're just newly married. So the guy is there negotiating with the Lord that he wants to go away. He wants to vanish and go and enjoy heaven. And now the funny thing is this, you have a right to go. I remember one time, some time ago, I was talking to Prophet Elvis. And I told him, you know, when I go, he said, if you dare to go there, you will not come back. I said that, no, I cannot fail to. I have work to do here. Then he says, okay, but you know the interesting thing is that I've tried a number of times. You remember the story I told you of me trying to raise somebody from the dead? Now, that time I didn't know what I was doing. But I've tried a number of times to call back somebody's spirit. But when the person is born again, they cannot come back. And they have a right not to come back. They are not going to come back so that you have a miracle. No. Because once they have sampled the other side, they have no business coming. There is no interest whatsoever in coming back. They have no interest whatsoever. So the first thing I ask, was he born again? If the answer is no. By the way, let me tell you, if the answer is no, it is so simple to summon back their spirit. Because where they are going, they know it's dangerous. Okay? So you just speak to them, so and so, come back in your body. And your command will be heard there, and it will be a relief for that person to come back. But if they are going the other side, they don't want to come back. So this guy was saying, I want to go. Then the Lord told him that, okay, I don't want to tell his whole story because it was, you know, a private thing. So he told me that. So the Lord went and gave him a glimpse of what he could do in the next years and showed him the actual thing. You see all those people there? And the people whom he's showing him are actually people who are as if boarding going to hell, and it's a done deal. So he tells him, you can save all those people in the next 10 years if you choose to stay. Now he's pleading with you, because if you say, no, I want to go, you have the right to be there. You understand? Eh? That's your home. You have every right to go there. So he's now basically telling you, please don't go. I still need you to do something here in this world. Because there are people who I'm counting on that you are going to reach them by being here, not by going. But you see now, of course, thankfully he's here. If he had chosen that he wants to go, he would not be here. And then some of you would moan. But the man has chosen to what? Can you imagine? Now, the thing is, but it was a mindset which was put in us. And I understand that, by the way. Because there was a time I actually used to look at old people. People who are very old, and I envy them. I say, at least for him, he's about to go to heaven. But for me, I'm left with so many years. Can you imagine? And seriously, I would think that. And I say that now in these many years, so many things can happen. I can even backslide. You know, how many of you remember those things? Eh? Especially when you're a youthful and, you know, you think. And of course, there was a bit of wrong theology where you think you're going to just, you're going to do something small and God is going to say, I'm through with you. Go to hell, don't waste my time. And we actually really believed that it is a matter of man. Like if you're lucky and you die at the right moment when you have no sin, is there a time you have no sin? Like, and we are now, actually I was talking with somebody yesterday because I was at a funeral and they were singing, you know, those Catholic songs and so on. So they are praying for the soul of the person to go from purgatory to where? To heaven. Then I said, but at least these Catholics, their thing is not very what? Okay, even if it's not based on truth. Eh? But at least they create a scenario where, unless you are terribly bad, but if you are not that bad, at least you go to a place where you suffer a bit, but you are going to heaven eventually. Where they first give you some chibokos, what? You suffer, but you see where you're going. Eh? You can see I'm going there. Okay, if it was only true, but it's not, of course. But my point is that when you come, now you leave that where there is some kind, you know, some respite. Then you come to the other born again, you know, like the theology we used to have before, where one simple thing, not even purgatory, hell, you're next to the devil himself because you told a lie just before the car knocked you. Have you heard of those things? Eh? Okay, that is so not true. Eh? But I used to wonder, but really, but I mean, I remember the first time I heard if one man's sin brought sin into the whole world, how much more one man's righteousness will bring righteousness to all the world. And then I'm saying, this makes sense. Because I didn't know it at the time. Because you were born a sinner before you even sinned. Why? Because of Adam. Isn't it? And you are born again righteous. Even before you've done one righteous deed. Why? Because of Jesus. Now that sounds fair. Doesn't it? But the other one, you are born a sinner, but in right here, when in Christ, righteousness has to be accomplished, performed, done. You have to get marks. Anyway, that was besides the point. But my point here is, so because of that theology, you kind of wish, man, I'm not even sure I'll end up in heaven. So why don't I just die now? Because now I feel holy. So, and by the way, I'll be honest with you. There are years, especially when I just got born, when I was actually convinced of that I wish I would just go, because now I feel, you know, you've just had like a nice prayer time, eh? And you're feeling goosebumps. And eh? So you feel righteous and holy. Eh? So you say, I wish I would just die now. Now God cannot do anything. He just has to take me to heaven. What, eh? At this moment in time. Praise the Lord. But anyway, that escapist theory of we have to, the world is becoming more and more evil, so we have to escape away from it. That's what I used to preach at some stage. Eh? Until the Lord started changing my thinking and changing my theology and saying that's not how it is. We are not leaving the world. We are not escaping from the world. There is no such thing as escaping. Praise the Lord. There is no such thing as what? Unless God does not. How can God escape? How can the Spirit of God who is in us escape from the devil? Man, the devil is coming. Then you take off. How is that even possible? Considering that God actually is very stubborn when it comes to moments when people feel that they are under a lot of pressure. Have you ever had those
moments when you are under a lot of pressure, if you don't do this by this time, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, then you go to pray and you're under a lot of pressure. And I receive people like that every day. The other day, somebody was even crying. Now, actual things. I'm not just giving examples. Real crying. Then I looked and I said, how can you receive pressure like that? But the truth is, of course, I know that feeling because I've ever been there. I just had to harden. So I told her, what are your problems? So she tells me, the problems are genuine. You understand? Eh? But if you're ever going to get anything from God, he does not deal under pressure. That's not him. He's never under any pressure. He's God. That's why, and this thing amazed me so much, because I remember the children of Israel having escaped Egypt, and they are standing at the Red Sea, and then they see Pharaoh's army coming. Then Moses goes to cry out to the Lord. Then the Lord tells him, you are going to lodge here tonight. Can you imagine? The army is coming, the Israelites are scared. This guy, they are coming for us. Then God says, you are going to spend the night here. Then tomorrow I'll tell you what to do. I'm paraphrasing. Eh? Say, Lord, can't you see they are just there? The chariots of the Egyptians said, no, don't worry. You just pitch your tents here and sleep here. We shall see what to do tomorrow. Now, that is how God does his things. Because he's God. So, of course, eventually, he put a pillar of fire between them and the Egyptian army. And they slept comfortably the whole night. And the fire was there, separating them from the Egyptians. Because he's God. So, if you want a miracle, you can't come under pressure. You try, that's Psalms 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You will never know that he's God when you are not still. Amen? You try it one day when you're under a lot of pressure and just say no. God has this sorted. The point is this. Get a scripture and stand on it. Eh? Get a scripture and stand on it. I've been through... Now, the person who was telling me the issue was, landlord said, by Saturday, if you have not paid, leave my house. Now, I have been down that road. And I remember in my case, I'd even been already in the media, so somebody was a bit known. So the landlord even told me, when they are chasing me out, they are going to bring a Gatari Konfufu. She actually said that. Imagine such a wicked person. Like she just wanted to humiliate me. Because now, she said that. Now the interesting thing is, every time you want to be in faith, you remember Gatari Konfufu. Man, then you are like, man, these things are tight. Then I remember at some stage, I just woke up and said, you know what? The scripture says, I don't even know. This scripture just came and I said it. I said, God, you said that no one trusts in you and is ashamed. So I said, I am not going to be the first one. So as soon as I spoke that in faith, I even went and started enjoying my coffee as if the house I stay in is mine. I'm telling you the truth. And the first miracle that happened is on Monday when she said she's going to bring a cat. She had forgotten. She did not call. Monday went, Tuesday went. That whole week passed without her ever calling. Yet she had... Now, of course, at Monday, you're still standing on the scripture, but you are... looking to see if you see any van coming with bouquet day, you know now you're in serious trouble. So then the next week I got the money. Then I called her. What's the problem? I got your rent. Now I'm busy. I'm going to send somebody to come for it. They might not even come today, but tomorrow they will come for it. Can you imagine? Suddenly, she's not in a hurry. Then it was the devil who was trying to mess. Because you've received some powerful word. And then, so she was not in a hurry to receive the money. Then I said, so I am the one who actually receives pressure when I'm not supposed to. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so Romans 10:11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, imagine such a promise. How many times are you facing shame? And you just tell God, you said that whoever believes in you will not be put to shame. So I am not going to be put to shame. And you just stand on that and say, finished. I believe you. Now I've gone. And I did that. And I went to take my coffee here in Nugogo. Eh? Double cappuccino. Eh? Double shot. You understand? as if by the house I'm staying in is mine. Now that's what it takes. So anyway, there's somewhere I was going. So the idea that we are supposed to run away and escape, because that has not been the case. Because actually, I realized from Luke chapter 19, start from verse 10. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near to Jerusalem. Now the reason they are saying he was near to Jerusalem is because he was near to going to die. Now here was Jesus entering Jerusalem for the final time. He had been there, remember, throughout the years, throughout all his years, there were laws by Moses that all Jews and proselytes, those proselytes were people who were not Jews but were converted to Judaism, had to go and worship in Jerusalem 3 times a year. So Jesus had done this all these years from when he was young. You remember even when he was 12, when he got lost, they had to go 3 times a year to go to Jerusalem and worship. But now he's going to Jerusalem for the final time to die. Okay? Now it is not just him. He's going for the Passover. And he had to go for the Passover. He had been going for the Passover all his 33 years. But now he's going for the Passover, and he's going to be the Passover lamb for that Passover. Now, he says, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now, this was our way of thinking. Eh? That now the rapture is in him. Okay, by the way, it is very, very close. Eh? I'll be honest with you. And by very close, I don't try to estimate. Just live your life. Eh? But there are people who understand these things in different ways. There are those who become escapists, like I was. Man, I wish the rapture happens now. Some people going up in hills, that we are going to go up somewhere in hills, like in the Himalayas, and meditate until the rapture comes. Now others, faced with all this, apparently evil is advancing. Evil is advancing. They make a decision to just adjust themselves to the world, to the evil. For instance, I remember when this COVID thing had just come. Before, they had really tied everything, but they had closed churches, and churches had been closed for a number of months. So I received a phone call from one pastor, a top pastor in Kampala here. He told me, come, let us talk about what we are going to do for them to open the churches. So I'm like, wow, that's a good cause. So I get in my car and I drive all the way somewhere to Entebbe Road. Now I get to the church and I find a number of pastors in that place. And there's somebody presenting a document which they had received from the Minister of Health on what churches ought to do. Actually, the Minister of Health had not told them. They were the ones who were telling themselves what churches ought to do to start, to be allowed to start. So I'm telling you, I have never had it was the most depressing thing I've ever had in a very long time. Because it was coming from men of God. And they were saying, first of all, we have to go and study and we get COVID certificates, all pastors. And then you take a picture with your COVID certificate. I'm COVID. You know, like those criminals where they put a number and then you even turn like this. Then you turn like this. And man, so you take pictures with COVID certificates that now I'm COVID compliant. But that's not all. They said now when the churches come, people have to sit 2 meters apart, okay? And you have to write everybody who sat in a specific chair, write their name and number, and the chair all the chairs have to be numbered. So you come and say, Athanasius sat on chair number 3, his number is 077, blah, blah, blah. So that if at some stage somebody else in the second service sits on the chair and gets COVID, then you are going to... I can't even remember the things that they were putting up. But it was, they were tying themselves with the ropes, themselves. So I sat and I listened. Then we are going to do this, then we are going. And it's not like they believed there was any serious sickness. Because we are seated shoulder to shoulder. But we are discussing how we are going to put a church, people 2 meters apart. So they don't even believe that there was a serious sickness. You know the way we are seated. Actually, it was even tighter than this. We are seated shoulder to shoulder. But we are discussing how we are going to. Those are the conditions of opening the church. Then when they finished, I said, you people, why are we tying ourselves with all these ropes? They said, no, this is what we have to do. We spoke to the Minister of Health. What? I stood up and I left. I said, I can't be part of this rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Where is the spirit of Daniel? How can you let somebody put you under bondage like that? No, actually, how can you let yourself be put under, you put yourself under bondage like that? Now, that was one way people adjust. That, you know what, things are tight, let us also adjust to things. That's not what God called us to do. Praise the Lord. God never called us to flee from evil or to even adjust ourselves to it. No. That is not the spirit of Daniel. Okay, let's go on. So, because they thought the kingdom of God was there. Therefore, he said, go to the older King James. He said there, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. What did he say to them? Go to the mountain and meditate? No, occupy till I come. This is Jesus talking about himself. Occupy. Every space here has to be occupied. In every sector. Every sector that there is, there has to be somebody from the kingdom who is occupying it. That is the command. Amen? Now, in this one, there is this, you know the parable. There is one who said, he went and kept his money. Actually, the New King James says, do business until I come. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. Now the other one says, occupy until I come. Now what is the meaning of occupy? I remember one teacher asked me when we went to some of these schools, but if you start teaching people these things, won't they refuse to study because Jesus is coming very soon? I told them they will not have understood what we are teaching. They should study very hard because he's coming what? Soon. Because they have to occupy the top positions in class. Because what? Because he's coming. And they have to go to the top positions in universities because he's coming. And they have to occupy top positions in government and business and everywhere because of what? He's coming. If they don't understand that it is about occupation, then they will not have received our message very well. But now, the idea is occupy until I come. And that is his instruction. So then we understood that this escapist thing of we are going away, you know. And by the way, it seeped through the church, especially now in people who never believed that we are in the end time during COVID, now moved from one extreme to the next. Now the next minute they were saying Jesus is coming tomorrow. From one extreme to the very next. Because there is no moderation in between. But the reality is that we have a responsibility. A very big responsibility here on earth. Because the end cannot come until we have occupied. Amen? That's why Peter says, 2 Peter, he says, looking for and hastening the coming of our Lord. Looking for and hastening. Now, the fact that he's saying looking for and hastening means that there is no set time for the return of the Lord. It all depends on what we do. Because he has to wait until we occupy, then he comes and takes a force that is, you know, in total occupation. So now, the thing is, the reason we used to think this is because of certain scriptures. You know, like says, start from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great heat, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, they will be dissolved. But that doesn't mean you should not own them. Praise the Lord. Because the instruction is to occupy. What man of persons ought we to be in holy conduct, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. Now, the thing is that he's saying there is something you can do to actually quicken the coming of the Lord. But that is not by sitting and wishing it comes. No, that's by occupying, by taking control of certain areas, not certain areas, all areas, every area, every good area has to be occupied before the Lord comes. And that's our duty here today. Hallelujah. So now when people would read things like, and you see this is what used to confuse me, things like this. All these things are going to dissolve. And what? Before they dissolve, you have to sleep in the house. Okay? So first build it. Don't worry that it will dissolve. When it dissolves, you'll have a better one in heaven. But in the meantime, you need one where? Yes. So first build it or buy it, sleep in it, and all the nice cars will also what? You see, you can give that message to a loser and he becomes a loser times 10. Have you ever seen those street preachers? Eh? I say, what has my car got to do with my soul? Have you ever heard the things they preach? Man, you can see that. And it's real anger. Now, and they are angry because they associate wealth with wickedness. That is a trick of the... By the That teaching of Ebirigwao, Ebirigwao, into being insane. That teaching is the devil's master stroke, man. Because then we dissolve, you settle for staying in some customer thing. After all, the things of this world are going to vanish. And then all the glamour, all the wealth, all the good things belong to the children of darkness. And for you, Castor, you're going to where? To heaven. Why don't you go and leave us, enjoy things? For us, we still want to do what? Now that is coming for Monday time preacher. Who knows Jesus is coming soon? You have to know that. But this is the will of God for us. To occupy. To have the best things. Do you know how difficult it was for me to convince myself that I deserve good things? Because I'd filled my mind. You go to Philippians chapter 1 verse 10. Philippians 1:10. It says that you may approve the things that are excellent. Praise the Lord. The things that are what? Now there are some people who are good at approving things which pass, which are mediocre. But he says, yeah, you approve the things which are excellent. I'll say, now, this one is excellent. This one is what I'm going to take. Now, you approve it in your mind first, before it actually, because you say, there are some people who I know for a fact. If they tell you, for instance, you go, I call them minimalists. Have you ever seen people who are minimalists? They tell you this shirt is 60,000, the other one is 80, the other one is 120. You say, so compare your 60. Like in your mind, you approve the things which are not excellent. Now, not that excellence is just price, but you have to set your mind that you deserve the best. Why should you? Your mindset is immediately goes for the lower one. You go for looking for a hotel room. And of course, some of these things, they could fail you there. I remember I was with a friend of mine in a hotel somewhere, and they charged me over how many, almost like a lot more money for a room. Then I went to his room, I think he had to pick the keys of the car. And I said, but your room is the same as mine. Meanwhile, I'm paying a lot more money. So I went and told the people, you guys, why do you charge me a lot more money for this room when they are the same? You know how they told me? That because there is a carpet next to the bed. And they are charging you like 100 and something extra dollars. Because they are, you see this carpet here, where you put your shoes. So they charge you more than $100 extra. And I said, this guy is a buffet. But you see, they would rather cheat me when I'm not being a minimalist. Because they tell you this one is $300. The other one is what? Then we also have those of $40. Then you say, can I see the ones of $40? Now, you have to learn how to approve the things which are excellent. Now, I've said this thing in different ways so many times. But the reality is you have to learn how to approve things which are what? Excellent. If you go for a suit, approve. Even if you can't afford it yet, at least approve it. And say, I approve of you. But right now, I can afford this. Because some of you will not even look the other side. How much is this suit? That's 2 million. Okay. Then you look this side. At least look at it and receive it in the spirit. And like, at least enjoy it in your mind. Before you settle for what? What you can afford right now. Because that approving is actually what makes. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that was a diversion. But I'm telling you something here. Now, occupy till I come. Now, the occupying till I come is, there has never been a time such as this when this instruction is very, very relevant. Because the church has not always been where we are right now. You see, you have to understand the differences. The church has not always been where we are right now. Where we are right now, it is all about taking territory for the Lord. Amen? Previously, it was about, first go to that scripture of occupy till I come. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Get which version is this? New King James? Go to the Old King James. Verse 10. I want verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek that which was what?
lost. Has he come to seek those who were lost? Eh? No, that which was lost. Some people think it's only people he came to seek. He came to seek lands which were lost. The world was created for him and by him. So he came to seek even things which, material things. He came to seek that which was lost. How was it lost? When the devil took it away from Adam. Okay? And Jesus Christ took it back from the devil. And now he sends you to go and set free a certain piece of land. Eh? A certain building. Have you ever, let me tell you. Go and, there a building which is waiting for you to set it free. The Son of Man came to set free that, not those, that, not just people. He says that he gave us, he reconciled us to God. And after that, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile all those things. So any land, any house, any car that is in the hands of a wicked person needs to be reconciled to God. And it actually is begging to be reconciled. When you sit in it, then it is happy. It has been reconciled back to its creator. So it's not just people. Now, this is the occupying, because now you let the enemy and his crowd have all the good things as people wait to go to heaven. Let me tell, and the corrosion those things have when they are with those people. Their things are corroded. Now, the other day, by the way, I was driving through Kororo. And I remember growing up thinking Kororo is such a wonderful neighborhood. But now it looks dilapidated, totally wasted. And I'm saying some of you guys need to go there and then you'll see how it will change. And I'm not joking. There is a certain glory that occupies when somebody who is, I'm telling you, like you see, you look and say, hey, Kororo. You look and say, there is, yet you grew up with this mindset that this is supposed to be an opulent neighborhood. But suddenly it doesn't cut out that way now. Because they are Indians, they are what? Okay, there's nothing wrong with Indians if they are not born again. But you know what I mean, eh? And they are like, hey. So those houses are begging for you. Please come and occupy. Till he comes. Also them, they will be saved. Eh? Because, and that, by the way, if you don't understand that simple principle, that anything that is in the hands of a wicked person is actually corroding very fast. Amen? You go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Okay, read with me, everybody. The earth was without form. Say it again. Amen. Amen? And the Spirit of God moved. And there was order. Do you understand? Before the Spirit of God moved, everything was without form. There was some heaven and all these beautiful mountains and what? Those wonderful places only came when the Spirit of God does what? Came. Now the earth suddenly was not without form. It had form. Now can you look at the earth and say it has no form? No, it has form. You can see wonderful, you know, beautiful places. You go to Eastern Uganda or you go to Eastern Uganda. Like, there are some places, it's Sebei area and what? Very, very beautiful places where you just see the hand of God. Why? Before it was without form. Then the Spirit of God moved and hovered over it. Then suddenly it started taking form. Now guess what? The minute the Spirit of God is not there, it is, Kororo is without form and is void and the darkness covers it. Until Kableta goes and buys what? You understand? Eh? Then the Spirit of God hovers. Then next time you see, wow. Kororo. And I'm not joking. The next time you see, it looks good. Because I moved there with the Spirit of what? Of God. Now when the Spirit of God comes, that's where order comes. But before the Spirit of God moved, everything was without form. Everything was void. Everything was in darkness. Then the Spirit of the Lord moved. So now, all these things, remember, they were created when the Spirit of God did what? Moved. But now wicked people have taken them over. And guess what they are longing for? For people who have the Spirit of God. Because they recognize that these rivers and
this used not to be there until the Spirit of God hovered. But now the beautiful lands are owned by wicked people. So we are waiting for Apostle Abraham to come, and then the Spirit of God comes. And then we are liberated. That's the real liberation. Eh? Financial liberation. Anyway. So, praise the Lord. Go to, you know, we have some tea today. Eh? So after here, don't run away very fast. Eh? Go on. Eh. No wonder I've been preaching about what? Eh. Go behind there, take a cup of tea just for, we know you can afford it at home, but go there just for what? For fellowship. Greet the person next to you. Ask him or her if they are married and stuff like that. Eh? Like, you know, interact. Eh? Get to know each other. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Good things might come out of a cup of tea. Glory to God. So I'm even going to finish very fast. That's what I'm looking at. To allow us time to do what? And that's not today only. It's going to be every Friday. So just be around here at least for 8:30 to 9. I'll try to finish early so that by 9 you can go home. You have a whole night and the weekend is just beginning. But start it with a cup of tea and yeah. If they are single, you can take their number. Anyway, I'm just joking. But my point is that there is tea. Eh? Glory to God. Now people are laughing. But the people are laughing are married. I'm seeing here Sarah Vadia laughing because for her she's sorted. But some of you need what? Some of you need tea. Praise the Lord. Eh? Yeah? Glory to... Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. We are just saying tea. Anyway, go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now this is, go back to verse 20 in New King James. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you this, that the fact that you are saying you're going to own things doesn't mean your citizenship is here. And by the way, if you tried to own them by being here, you will not own them. You own them by actually being a citizen of where? Heaven. Everything is operated from there. Praise the Lord. Everything is operated from there. Now you see, it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, that blessed be the God and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay? In Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. Now, the reason you are not seeing the blessing is because you are looking for it on earth. It is in heaven, and you can go there. As I've told you, this person even had you have the right to go there even now and stay there. And we bury you. Okay, we bury your body. So that is your place. That is your dwelling. That is where you go and get things from there, and they manifest on earth. Praise the Lord. You don't manifest them from here. If you try to manifest, the Bible calls the devil the god of this world, because he's the one in 1 Corinthians 4:4. Because he's the one who manipulates the systems of the world. That's why Jesus said, I'm taking you, you know. You're not of this world. Now, where are you from? You're from heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Okay? That's where you operate from. You are an ambassador here on earth. That doesn't mean you're an ambassador, so you stay here. So tell me, if you are the ambassador of a foreign country, let's say you are the ambassador of South Africa in Uganda, are you paid according to Ugandan salary scale? Is anything about you Ugandan? You are actually South African. They pay you according to South African scales. Everything is South African, only you're living in Uganda. Now, you're a citizen of heaven. God supplies your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, not according to anything else. Now, the reason you do not experience it yet is because you've not yet actually understood that this world is just to be dominated. For you, dominate it from up there. Amen? Now, don't think that we don't have people. when somebody attacks you, and they do that sometimes to us, you know these people from the second heaven? Yeah? Amen? Glory to God. They come from the second heaven, and then they start asking, where does this person get his money from? How can he do a political conference at Serena? Eh? You understand? So they go to second heaven to try and mess up my finances. Go, guess where I go? Third heaven. And I step on their head. Bah! And by the way, let me tell you, you cannot, these demonic people, you cannot stop. I'm saying this for the benefit of the spies who are here, and I've seen some of them. You cannot stop Kableta's money. You can't. My citizenship is of heaven. For yours is in the ground. That's where you're going. Now, I see them. I even attended a meeting where they were seated, top people. And they were saying, how is this possible? How is this? And then they moved to do things in the spirit. And I just soared above them to the third heaven. Now I dare them. I dare them. This is the life that God has called us to. You can't, if you can be stopped by these servants of the devil, then you are not going to occupy till he comes. You have to know that, no. My citizenship is not here. Amen? You go to the American embassy. Who are guarding it? Ugandan soldiers? Who? Americans. So the people who are guarding me are the soldiers for my kingdom. Not this one. This one is inferior. Are you kidding me? This one? No. I have a citizenship elsewhere. I have a passport somewhere where I belong. And that's where I operate everything from. And when I operate it from there, this earth is just there to be eaten. It's just there to be taken. It is very inferior to that kingdom where I come from. So he says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you see things as just go to the heavenly places. You have a right to be there. You actually already there. Just go there and say, now from here, I am up here, I release blessings upon that Kableta down there. You understand? And you think I'm joking, you try it and see. Because up there, you are blessed with every blessing, every spiritual blessing. The problem is you're here, you spend too much time here. Go up where you belong. Manipulate things from up there and see how they will be manipulated here on earth. So people sit down and I'm behind. I'm seeing the back of their heads, but I know who they are. Eh? And they are discussing. And I said, eh? So I just said, okay. We'll mount up with wings like a what? Eagles don't fight crows or seagulls. No, they just go higher. The crows cannot go where. you know that. Eh? Hey, eagles can be as far as 10,000 meters above sea level. Eagles only. There is no other bird which can go there. So when these other birds, crows and what, attack an eagle, it does not fight back. It just goes higher, higher. When it goes to a certain altitude, the other birds can't breathe. They have to come back down. But the eagle is comfortable there. That's why he says those who seek the Lord will mount up their wings like what? Yes. You mount up your wings and go to a place where nobody can fight you. These crows here. And these marabou stalks. No. Man, you people, marabou stalk fighting an eagle. And yes, you. Marabou stalk cannot even fly to here. Then crows up to somewhere that eagles just go higher. And by the way, if the eagles stay around, those marabou stalks can attack. Not marabou stalks, the crows especially. Attack them and they can kill them. Because the eagle might not fight back. Its only defense is to mount up what? Mount up its wings and go high. By around 3,000 meters above sea level, the crow cannot breathe. It starts coming down. If it goes any higher, it will die. But the eagle can still go up to 9,000 meters. Above sea level. So imagine such a weapon that the Lord has given us. Eh? as we prepare to take what? Okay. And then you're still fighting with cross. Me, I'll tell you this. The enemy will try to do certain things. But, like, he is such a loser. Like, you have to know that there is nothing he can. If there is anything he could have done, he would have done it a long time ago. Praise the Lord. There are things that only happen when you're scared of them. The people who come against you are looking out for only one thing. Those crows, if you know what I mean. They are looking out for one thing only, which they want. And that is what? Fear. Fear. Have you ever heard people saying, man, be careful where you eat? No. I am very predictable where I eat. You poison me and we see. I am very, very predictable. If somebody can instill something in you and put it in the realm of your fear, then actually they are going to bring you down by that thing. You refuse to fear anything. Tell me, okay, I've said it here openly. Go and put poison. I tell you, I'm going to have dinner right now. You can follow Micah, you'll see. And by the way, even not now, I am very, very predictable. Now somebody says, man, you are like, those are things of seagulls, of marabu stalks. That's marabu stalk talk. What marabu stalk in Luganda? Kalori. Me, I'm up there. Me, I'm those heads. Don't tell me those things of what? Of calories. I have a place where I have a citizenship. I can go there and cheat a bit and first read these things. Now, from the third heaven, if you're doing things in second heaven, guess who is the winner? Third heaven. Anyway, so there are people who attack you, and even I'm saying like people like bosses and what, and somebody, the one thing, the biggest gift you can give them is fear. Without fear, they are scared. Do you know how terrifying it is for the devil to attack you and you're not scared? He is the one who is scared. Let me show it to you in the scripture. Philippians chapter what? Chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians 1, 28. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which to them is proof of perdition. In other words, when they come to you and you're not terrified, it is proof to them that they are going down. You know what perdition means? Eh? What does it mean? Destruction. So they come to you wanting you to be scared. Then you're not scared. Then you start saying, I'm going down. That's exactly what happens. Once you're not scared, they are the ones who are scared, and then they know. The Bible says it is proof to them, to your adversaries. Proof to them. Because they expect you to fear. You're supposed to fear. Then you come and you don't fear. Then they say, man, we are really going down. Can you imagine he's not scared of us? Eh? Now they start retreating. Now you're occupying. Praise the Lord. And we have to occupy. So who is retreating? The devil. Now look around the world. Although now COVID is making big news in Uganda again, because I think they want to manufacture another wave. But look around the world. A judge removes mask mandates. This happens. People have moved on. What? There are people who thought COVID was going to be their magic road. But it has let them down. Now we are here. We are moving on. Life is going on. They are retreating. They are retreating. And by the way, let me tell you, they are retreating. And now we are occupying. The only thing you have to do is keep on moving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember what I told you. That as long as you are going forward, all the ammunition is there according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Okay? Let's read there very fast. Ephesians 6, 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and his servants who are somewhere, those ends. Eh? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, against what? In the second heavenly places. Eh? In the what? Heavenly places, but second heaven, below you. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and to having done all, to stand. Okay? It says, stand up therefore, having guarded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet, okay, the shoes of preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, all those are defensive weapons. There's only one attacking weapon. The defensive one, also the element is what? Defensive. Element of salvation. There's only one weapon which attacks. The sword of the Spirit. Okay? Which is the word of God. Everything else is defensive. The only thing you attack with is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Otherwise, it's a helmet, breastplate, guarded in the waist, shoes. But that is it. There's nothing for the back. So if you turn away and run, they are going to spear you in the back. The armor of God does not have anything for what? For the back. Because he expects us to be attacking all the time. So every time you attack, you cannot lose. Every time you attack and you're not terrified of your adversaries. Go back to that scripture. Philippians 1:28. He says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of their perdition, but to you is a proof of salvation. When you are not terrified, and they expect you to be what? Be careful where you eat. No, I'm not careful. I am careless. Eh? You know somebody, one time they what? some guy called me those days when I was a journalist. And threatened me that you am going to what? So I was so scared. So I went to the MD. And the MD looked, I think he realized I was scared for nothing. Eh? Then he told me that don't go home the same way. Eh? Today if you pass here, tomorrow pass where? And then they terrified. Praise the Lord. Eh, but I go home the same what? Same way. Eh. Same way, same home. Now, if you cannot do anything about it, then you are terrified. Eh? Then that is proof that you are going down. Of your perdition, proof that you are going down. But for me, it is proof that what? Of my salvation. And that from God. Put back the scripture. But to you, it is proof of salvation. And that from God. By just not being terrified. Anyway, let me read one more what? Scripture, then we finish. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Have you ever had somebody, let's say in your workplace, those people who want to be feared? Everybody is terrified of them. Eh? One day you try not being terrified, you will see. They get scared. I'm telling you. And usually people who come off like that, eh, they are servants of the devil. Because the devil is the one who comes up with fear. He comes, shoo. If you don't fear, he is so powerless. So powerless. I told you one day I walked out of my bathroom and I found a demon sitting on my bed. Like this. Then I walked out and I saw the thing. He looked at me. I looked at it. Then I just went to the cupboard and started putting on my nighties. And then I told it, get out, I want to sleep. I'm serious, by the way. I'm not joking. That actually happened. And I just told it, get out of here in Jesus' name. I want to sleep. And then I entered the bed and I slept. But now, terrified. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I will call the blood of Jesus when the need is. Eh? But now a devil cannot make me get there. Now, when he sees you're not terrified, he is reminded that the time for him to be in what? In hell is almost. They are not scared of me. Very soon I'm going to be in hell. Okay. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Okay? Go ahead. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now I want you to just stop there and imagine this. When he says that, set your mind on things above, it is by setting your mind on things above that you are going to dominate things where? Here. Actually, you dominate them by setting your mind on things above. And that putting your mind focus on this is what God wants us to do. This is the commission from God. We are supposed to occupy till he comes. So now I'm going to occupy. Let me look around for what I'm going to occupy. Okay? Now, but then you're not doing it for yourself. Not just, you see the reason people don't get this, and the book of James says that. You ask and you don't get because you ask amiss. But you see, when you tie it down to this is the will of God for us now. God is saying we go and occupy. Now I want to occupy. And you're not doing it for just, you're doing it as a heavenly commission. You're setting your mind on things above. Okay? Now, I can tell when people have set their minds on things above and people are thinking about things on the earth. I can tell that very easily because they will want the same things. As Anastasia can want a house and Roger wants a house, and I tell this one wants it from the flesh, the other one wants it from the spirit. Amen? You can tell that this one, for him, his thing is about God. He has set his mind on things above. But the things above tell him that you have to also own a house here. Amen? And then he's tied in a certain way. Now, this one on the other side, on the other hand, for him, I want this one. And you can see a certain level of flesh involved. Now, when you actually set your mind on things above, it's amazing how much you can dominate this earth by not even thinking about it. By just thinking about the commission of God. Now I sit and think, Jesus is coming. What are we going to have? I mean, we have to be doing ABC before he's coming. I'm not thinking about where, because I know he's coming. So I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to do, what my commission is. And in the process of doing that, you actually find that you are occupying territory after territory by not even thinking about it, by actually setting your mind on things above, on what the commission of God is and what you think that your specific commission is vis-a-vis God's whole grand plan. Okay, God has this big grand plan to occupy and to come for a church which is on top in every way. Now, that is his plan. What is my plan? What is his plan for me in his master plan? Where do I fit? Then you start pursuing that. And then you're not even thinking about that house. You're thinking that if you do not own the house, your reward will not be the same in heaven. I'm telling you that some of you, your reward will be less because you let a certain house go free which you were supposed to have. And because you let it go free, the son of wickedness came and took it. And you have never thought it about it that way. You think it's all about you. No, it's not about you. It's about the master plan that God has. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? So the whole grand plan of, there are some people who, certain properties, God is counting on you, go and get that. A wicked person is taking it and they are going to use it for wickedness. Do you know that they use it for, you know that? Eh? Yes, they use it for wickedness. And you are going to use it for righteous cause. Even if you just sleep in it, that's already a righteous cause because you belong to God. Amen? You can just enjoy the car, that's a righteous cause. You drive at 180 kilometers an hour, that's right, as long as you don't what? Be reckless, praise the Lord. But the point is, as long as you're enjoying it, that is God's righteous cause. Amen? Now, somebody else is going to enjoy it on your stead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Time for tea. Eh? Okay, you first get your, today I'm going to take the offering. You first get your offering, eh? Very fast. Because if I let these people do, they will come and take very long to close the service. But there is a tent there, so you can take the tea in the what? The tent. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for each and every person who connects here this day. We thank you because you do a wonderful thing in our midst. And you set us on a big path, on a grand plan for your end time in the name of Jesus. And we are going to occupy, and we are going to occupy, and occupy until you come. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Service is over. All announcements have been made. Just walk. I'm going to lead the queue behind there to go and get tea.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UGWatchman and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.